The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I mean, listen, what we were doing before, I was talking to myself, okay? So, like, the bar for you is like but, army crawl over, okay?
I mean, you're an interesting man. I mean, that's the thing with this, is talking to yourself. I mean, that's a pleasure. You're an interesting man. You've seen a lot. You've done a lot. You've experienced much.
According to Danny Cunningham, Ken Carman is the interesting man here in the city, okay? It's not me. It's not me. They didn't pick Jake Volmick for the most interesting man, okay?
And congrats to him for that honor and making it into that magazine. Yeah. Good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, yeah. They didn't pick me, though. I was not the interesting one.
Well, we'll get you there.
Yeah, we'll start
you at the bottom, and you work your way up. The first thing we'll do is we'll go to a bunch of local high schools, and we'll offer you out to them. And they can write a feature on you for the most interesting man. And we'll see where it takes you from there. And maybe, just maybe, we could get a local Rotary Club to write about you, too.
Oh, wow.
This is how it works. And we just slowly work your way up. You know, you could find those Ken Carman Rotary Club write-ups all over the place.
That's great. Yeah, no, this is going to go well. I mean, I have the right physical stature for this, right? I mean, relatively blonde hair. Kent's got me beat in the blonde department. But my round-ish build, I think, fits with Ken very well.
How is your knowledge of professional wrestling in the territorial days?
I got to study up.
You got to talk. You got to be able to talk Harley Race. You got to be able to give a whole bunch of reviews about Dusty Rhodes promos and Harley Race and into a little bit of Ric Flair days and all that kind of stuff. Little Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in there for you as well. You know, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah, no, I was like,
We'll get you deep Mid-South in no time.
Yeah, late 2000s, early 2010s. That's where my wrestling knowledge lives and also mostly dies. Mm. A little beyond it, but that's about it.
We'll get you there.
Well, we'll come around. Dan, obviously, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you very much. How was everything back at your place?
Hectic as all get out. We had about 22 people over to the house for Christmas Eve. And so it is always a zoo. The lady friend's family all finds their way over, and they are of they're Cuban descent. So we do the Cuban Christmas Eve of, you know, pork, beans, rice, all of that kind of good stuff. It's always a good meal. It's always enjoyable, all that stuff. Probably the most fun part of it is her grandfather's 101 years old. Her grandmother is 91 years old. Her great aunt is 90. And so there are two sides of it. One of them is it's always nice to talk to those people, get their perspective on life and the world around it and all that stuff, because they've seen so much compared to you. Like,
right.
And so it's just kind of cool to sit there and talk with them. But the other part of it that makes it cool is that they've hit the age where they come, they eat, and they leave, which when you're hosting a party, the best people on this earth are the people who come, eat, and leave. Like, that's it. And so they rolled in at 5 and they were gone by 8:30.
That's as good as it gets.
This is great. I love this. This is the way that it should be. Come, eat, leave. Like, that's all that I could ask for. But the best part of the whole thing, and I was going to come in here and give you some guff, because you were talking Josh Naylor a little bit earlier, and the best part is her grandfather comes up to me, and I go, "Hi, abuelo, how are you? Good to see you." And he comes up and goes, "Hi." And again, 101-year-old man. "Hello. Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor?" That's how I was greeted.
That's a great start to a conversation. This perfect. Is perfect.
This is what I want. I'm giving the man a hug, and he's in my ear going, "Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor?" His wife comes up, 92. Hello. Hi, Abuela. How are you? Why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor? I don't understand this move for the life of me. It was phenomenal. It was everything I could ask for and more. So, yes, these moves matter to these people, and they are locked in come hell or high water. It's the best.
Now, did you give them the same diatribe that I gave everybody else earlier on?
So, I basically, my exact wording that I gave them was, you know, they were a little bit worried about his build. They were a little bit worried that the production wasn't going to keep raising, and they weren't going to sign him long term. And the best part is again, he looks at me and he goes, the guy hit 32 home runs. This team doesn't have anybody who can hit 32 home runs. Why are you trading the guy who hit 32 home runs?
Very and simple.
I'm like, this is my question as well. And I looked at him and go, this is the answer I'm going to get for you. And the next time I see you, I will have a better answer. Because I don't know. It's the same thing that I was kicking around. I'm like, why in the hell are you getting rid of a guy who had 32 bombs? Like, you don't have these guys in this organization. This is the death by a thousand paper cuts offense. And for some reason, I cannot wrap my head around. This organization is allergic to home runs. And I know what it is. It's because you got to pay people who hit home runs. But you need them to win in 2024. You need to be able to hit the ball over the fence. You need to be able to make pitchers pay when they make mistakes. And so, oh yeah, is it? I'm sitting here saying this to a 100-year-old man as I'm stirring a pot of black beans. Like
everybody's dream,
exactly.
Obviously.
It was. I'm like going up, and he's sitting there going, I don't get it. I don't get it either. Anyway.
Yeah, no. It was.
So it was nice, man. How was yours?
It was really good. I just explained to Anthony all the fat food that I've eaten on Christmas Day. But we're a big Christmas Eve family, as you just sort of laid out for you, too.
Yeah.
It's held at my mom's house. We hosted in a small ranch-style home, 18 people, so you're
good
basically elbow to elbow.
Good for you.
Yep.
All right, so I got it true a tiny bit on this. How many restrooms?
One and a half. So.
See, because we do that on my ma's side of the family up in Wisconsin. They do it at the house they grew up in, and it's something similar to that, except it's one bathroom.
Yep, you get
so
two.
You spend the entire weekend just going, is anybody in the bathroom? Has anybody been in the bathroom? Can you let me know if you're in the... Like, it's all that stuff.
That's all that comes down to. Every single time. Yep. But it was good. You know, got to spend it with family. We are not the show up, eat, and leave kind of people. Not at all. It's we are there from when we say we're going to get there, it's about 6 o'clock, up until like at least 10:30. And that was...
Wow. Good for you guys.
We push it the full way. Grandparents, everybody. Nobody's leaving early.
Good for you guys. That's excellent. It used to be that way, but then everybody's kind of got older, and then the kids started going to school and all that stuff because the lady friend's brother brings my niece and nephew over as well, and they run and terrorize and do all the things that kids should do. Like, I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. I'm saying that like this is what kids should do. And so they were the same way. Like, they all showed up. They did everything. And then about 9 o'clock, I would say, they took off. And the minute 9 o'clock hit, the bottle of Blanton's came down, and a good evening was had by all.
That's what I like to
hear. The after party hit, and the after party was a darn good time.
That's the best part of a party, right?
Yep.
That's the best way that it goes. I do have to ask you, though, between the two set of sports that we have on, we had the NFL on Christmas, and obviously, I mean, Christmas Day NBA. Were you tuned into either?
So my folks are not. So we do Christmas Day at my parents. Okay. My parents are not big sports people, so which is why they still don't understand for the life of them why I do this for a living. It's one of their biggest questions in life is we didn't really pay attention to this stuff, and yet here this guy is running his mouth for extended periods of time about stuff that we never cared about. And so we did not have any of them on. Typically, we would have, like, if I had to pick, it would be the NBA. The problem that I have, man, and we're in the middle of it this week, and it seems more overarching than anything else. The best thing that the NFL had going for them was scarcity. That was the best thing. Supply and demand, right? We all know the simple basics of supply and demand. You don't need to be a genius to understand that, right? With high demand, low supply, that's kind of what you're looking. You want to get it close to the middle. High supply, low demand, you're probably going under, right? That's like the way that this kind of thing works, right?
Major League Baseball.
So the NFL has always been a high demand, low supply, right? That is always the thing of it, and it's the best thing it has going for it. We brought up a certain, which I am available for all endorsements when it comes to that particular bourbon, but that particular bourbon is the perfect example of it, where it's like they have built this entire thing on the idea that there is a low supply and a high demand. The NFL was the same way. The only way you would get the NFL was on Sundays at 1 o'clock, Sundays at 4 o'clock, Sunday night, and Monday, right? And even Sunday night didn't really exist until earlier than you think. But then it was Monday, and that was it. And so you would pull these gargantuan numbers, and you would have this lock-in, and you would have all of these things that everyone was so in for because it was once a week, and you knew exactly when it was. And what they have done in the last, gosh, 5 years, I think about 5 years, 10 years maybe, no, 5 years, let's go with that, is that now you're losing that demand, supply-demand side of it. The supply is maintaining, right? We added one more game. They'll probably add a second one in between there. But if you're going to start living in this world where you're going to have NFL football on a Wednesday, and then you're going to have it on Thursday night like we have tonight, which you'll, of course, be locked into right here on your home with Thursday Night Football and Westwood One's coverage of it, 92.3 The Fan. You're going to then put another game on, you know what, we're going to have two games on Saturday. We're going to put a bunch of games in on Sunday. Then we'll have Monday Night Football as well. We'll swing back around to Thursday night on top of that one. Then you're going to have it on Saturday and then Sunday once again going into Wild Card Weekend. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking the best thing you had going for it, which was the high demand and the knowledge that it was going to be at one place and one place only. And now, all of a sudden, you're moving it everywhere. And it's no longer as special as it once was. And that's what I wonder is going to happen with the NFL with moving these games all over the place.
So I would agree with you on a normal sense of, like, if they picked a random Wednesday to play a game, it would feel weird. I don't think it would do well for them. You picked Christmas Day. I mean, everyone's just gathered around waiting for something to start anyway. The NFL reigns king. The NFL is just there.
It does. It's a juggernaut. Yeah.
If you play an NFL game, it's on.
You are mainlining NFL football in this country. Like, that is the only way to put it. You are mainlining NFL football. Like, that's how we all are. We are addicted to this thing. And so now, I think we are going to hit a point, like a lot of things, where if you could start getting this everywhere, I wonder if the specialness of it seems to dissipate a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, instead of knowing that it's 1 o'clock on Sunday and we can make a big old deal out of it and we can, you know, get a bunch of people together and all that stuff, it's tougher to get people together on a Wednesday. It's tougher to get people together on a Thursday. It's tougher to get people together on a Saturday because everybody plays every youth sport known to man on a Saturday. And so, like, it's tougher to work that together.
I just feel like when you look at it, and I think I could honestly make the counter argument for you.
Please do.
That the NBA, their specialty was, you know when it's going to be on, not throughout the course of the season, that type of scarcity, but Christmas Day, you reign supreme. You knew on Christmas Day, there's only one thing to watch if you wanted to watch sports, and the thing you wanted to watch was the NBA. The NFL's now invaded that.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL has taken over that idea, and like we said, the NFL reigns king, and now you actually trounce the NBA because everybody cares about NFL football. I saw on Christmas Day, stadiums packed out with their fans. Steelers fans showed up at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. They opened presents and said, all right, let's go. Time to get down to the stadium and watch some football.
Congratulations on opening all of your layers. Now put them on.
Yes. Oh, I got a new Steelers coat. This will work today. Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. But they packed out. It did not matter. The NFL reigns king, and you have now trounced on the idea that the NBA, that is their day. And what a lot of people view it as, the symbolic start to the NBA season, when people actually start to care. My fear then would be that that has changed. The NBA, the symbolic start is no longer going to be Christmas Day, because I don't think that the average sports fan actually watch the NBA games because they're too dialed in to the NFL. 216-474-0092. That's what I want to know. Is the symbolic start for the NBA now changing that NFL has taken over sort of Christmas Day? You can also get to us on X at Volnick Jake for myself and at The Sports Feller for Dan. It's Jake Volnick. It's Dan Menigan right here on 92.3 The Fan.